Tiffany, did you ever think about that? Where would you be except for the grace of God? Amen. Appreciate that good message and song. I want you to go with me to book of 2 Corinthians. I ask you to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Familiar verses. Talk about them a little bit this morning. Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start reading in verse 17. Read down through the end. Time will not allow to expound all of it. It's a tremendous, powerful passage in the Word of God. I want to speak to you this morning on the thought that we're Christian ambassadors. That's what we find here in the text. We find it says in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away." Don't say maybe they will, but are passed away. "Behold, all things are become new." In all things of God are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to, we're going to go back and read it again. I want you to take your pen, if you would. I marked my Bible up, and probably a little more so than I should. But take a, and make a little circle or an underline around the "us," how many times "us" shows in this portion. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ," reconciled us to himself, "and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto" who? "Us, the word of reconciliation. And then we are ambassadors." Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. "We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We know that last verse, such a powerful verse, tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us. And of course, that's the message we want to get out. As I think about being Christian ambassadors, ambassadors have been in the news. We had Ambassador Chris killed over there in Libya. Awful thing. He and three others, which have been in the news this week. What's worse than that, it shouldn't have happened. We should have been wise to 9/11 and a terrorist attack. A bunch of cover-up and a bunch of junk going on over that thing. And awful. Can you imagine in a hostile place like that we just had a few guards? Amazing, isn't it? The errors, the cover-up. So what's the motive behind it? Well, you know, a campaign's going on. That's a big part of it. No doubt about that, what the motive might have been then. But I tell you what it's done for America. It's cost us a lot of respect. Of course, a long time ago, the rest of the nations that used to fear us have quit fearing us across this old planet. And it's just sort of junk like this. And then even 2 weeks later, in front of the UN, the president's still blaming a little old 15-minute video that some guy put on the net somewhere. And I'll guarantee you 98% of them rioting in the streets in the Middle East never saw it either. It's just a cop-out, just an excuse is all that's going on. But we were once feared across the globe, and rightfully so. I mean, no nation's done what America done to bring freedom and to help people like America. But our flag used to be honored above what it is now. Can you imagine one day, go back in history, can you imagine them burning our flag in the street? Not really. Even the Union Jack, the flag of England, I read a story, and it's a true fact of history. One of the third world countries, one heathen bunch out there, they had imprisoned an English man, and falsely so, I think, but they brought him out before the firing squad, and the ambassador from England went out with a Union Jack flag, English flag, and draped it over the man and said, "Just put one bullet hole in it." They backed down. They didn't shoot him because they didn't want England coming after him. That's the respect in the world that America used to have also back in the day, no doubt about it. Well, today, though, say, what do we do today? Well, we write them a hard letter and we send them some more tax money. That's the way we do it today. Amen. I said to some of the folks this morning, I saw on the ticker tape that the UN was about to also get a global tax force. Isn't that amazing? I mean, who you think they're planning on taxing? Us. They've had this idea before, but now it's getting real close. I'll get off on that simply, though, to say this. There was a time, you read in your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 10, you read where David sent some ambassadors to Amnon, to the Amorites there, and they took them and treated them shamefully. He was sending them in kindness because the king had died and the son had taken over. And David was sending to the Ammon there, the ambassadors from Israel. And some of the advisors of the young king said, well, they probably just sent them in to spy. And so they took them and cut off half the beard. Now, that would be a bad sight, wouldn't it? Because in those days, the men wore the long beards. And I guess, I don't know. Divided or what? They cut off. Worse than that, they cut off their garments from the waist down and sent them home. And David heard they were in a city outside of, and he told them to stay there till their beard growed back and not to be ashamed. And then you know what David did? He called Joab and the mighty men and went after them. And you know who they were fighting? They got in collusion with the Syrians, the same crowd, same bunch that's going on over there today. And you read about it in 2 Samuel 10. David cleaned house with them. And the truth of the matter is, we've lost that kind of position in the world today. But I want to examine the subject of an ambassador. Talk to you a little bit about an ambassador. You say, well, preacher, I know what the word is. Well, let me ask you this. Who is one? Well, an ambassador is one who takes a message from another and delivers it. He's one that speaks for another. I remember one time, many years ago, long before I was in the ministry, I was working for a company. And the boss said, I want you to go to this address, go to this house. They owe us a bill, and you go out there and take them the bill and see if they'll pay it. I don't like that. None of us do, but you have to do it sometimes. So I walked up on the porch, and I knocked on the door, and I thought I heard the TV, but it went quiet. So I knocked again and again, and then a little old ambassador came to the door, about 8 years old, and said, Mama said to tell you she's not home. Really happened. And by the way, sometimes ambassadors lie too. Amen. But one bringing a message from another. That's what an ambassador is. And in the text here, you know who it tells us the ambassadors are? If you're saved, me and you, you and me. Right. How are you supposed to say it? Right. Amen? Amen? We're the ambassadors. That's what the verse tells us here. That we, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for who? Christ. You know what my job is? It's to take his message and give it to somebody else. That's the job. I'm an ambassador. I'm representing him. And let me say this. You and I are ambassadors right now in a foreign land. This earth is not our home. We're just passing through. Amen. The truth is laid up above. Hebrews 13 tells us we're strangers and pilgrims. I guess it's 11 verse 13. Hebrews, we are strangers and pilgrims in this land. You know, when my wife and I start to take a trip, I have to watch her because she wants to pack the house in the car. And I've said to her so many times, it's only 2 days. And leave room in the front seat for us. You fellas have that trouble? Well, you know what we do in this world? We pack up. We think we're going to be here forever. No, we're not. We're not supposed to be here. We're ambassadors. We're in a foreign land. We got a job to do, and we're passing through.
Amen.
One day,
amen,
our job's going to be finished. Amen. That's the Bible. Turn over to John chapter 17. I'll show it to you. This is the prayer that Jesus, the real Lord's prayer, where the Lord Jesus is praying for his disciples, and not only praying for them, but he's also praying for those that believe on him in the future. And in John chapter 17, he's talking to the Father, and he says, they, talking about his disciples, the believers, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 18, and thou hast sent me, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. When you got saved, you didn't only become a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, you became an ambassador. And we're ambassadors in a foreign land. We have a foreign message, by the way, and getting more foreign, seems like, every day in America. But that's our job. Hey, folks, the challenge while we're in this foreign land is to stay true and loyal to the one that made us ambassadors to start with. And the biggest challenge that you'll face is being loyal to the one that sends you. Listen to me. We are all familiar with this. We have embassies in other nations. Do you know the headquarters that another nation zeroes in to find and create a traitor or a spy is our embassy? Do you know we do the same thing with an embassy in America? The spy game, the so-called Cold War between Russia and America in the past, you know what it was? It was who could bribe, who could trick, who could deceive, who could get somebody to sell out their country and become a traitor. We've seen the movies, the spy shows, and all of that business that's made out of that sort of stuff. We built a great big building in Russia and then had to never use it because we discovered about the time we were supposed to move in that embassy that the Russians had bugged it from one end to the other to listen to us. Spent all that money and never did get to use it. I was in Russia, and some of you have been over there, and it was an interesting thing. Just a few preachers from America, just trying to get a few Bibles to the underground church and stuff like that. And yet they told us which hotel we had to use. They told us which room we had to be in. And if you wondered about that, I got a chair and stood it up and looked at the little fire thing in the ceiling and found their hidden microphone. They were bugging us. Oh, yeah. We American preachers had a sense of humor. We sang songs to them over that microphone. Even I tried. We sang something like this, ha, 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 Jesus is alive, Lenin's dead. But you know what they were doing? They were bugging us. They were listening in. And spy game, you want to call it. And people have written books and shows and all of that about it. The spy that came in out of the coal and all that kind of business. But you understand something? The devil's after you to make a traitor out of you, to make a spy out of you, to get you to sell out your country. Your country's not here. Your country's far away. Your country's in heaven. We're an ambassadors in a foreign land. We better not forget that. And the challenge of an ambassador is to stay true to those that sent him, to stay on message, to stay loyal. And that's what we're having trouble with today among God's ambassadors, is too many are selling out. Too many are dipping their colors. Too many have given over to the other side. And the recruiting methods they use are no different. Satan recruited Eve in the garden. Judas sold out for money. The same methods all down through history still being used today. And I have some interesting things. I mean, the traps that are set, all of that. But we're foreigners. Heaven's our home. We're not to be attracted to the glitter and gold and shiny things of this earth. Man, I think about old Bud Robertson, that old-time preacher. Finally, his grandkids, after he'd got on up in years, they knew he didn't know much of the city. They knew he didn't know much of the latest gimmicks. And they finally talked him into letting them take him to New York City and show him all the bright lights and all the stuff. And so all day long, they took him from this place to that place and showed him everything. And that night, when he got back to the room, he got on his knees to pray before he got in the bed. And he was overheard to say this: "Dear God, I'm glad you let me see all that stuff today. But dear God, I'm more thankful that I didn't see a thing I wanted." I like that. You see, we're not to look at the things of the world and let them entice us from being true as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are, according to the scripture here, we are that ambassador for Christ. And then what is an ambassador's message? Look at it in verse 19, if you would here. "And to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto who? Us, the word of reconciliation." What's my message? It's reconciliation. Say, what do you mean by that? I mean, God and man is separated. They need reconciling. Do you understand that? God is high and holy. Man is low and a sinner. And the only way they can be got together and reconciled is through Jesus Christ. And he sent me with the message. After I experienced the message and the power of the message, he sent me to tell others to get them reconciled back to the Father. That's my job. Like it or not, if you're saved, that's your job. I've said it so many times. If you had cancer and you found a cure for it, you went to a doctor that could cure you, you know what you'd do? You'd tell the whole world about it. You'd put his name in lights. Everybody that had cancer, you'd want to get to them. Well, hear me good. We got something worse than cancer. We got a sin problem. We got a lost problem. We got a problem that mankind in his sin is on the road to hell. And you and I have the answer and the truth. And we need to get that truth to them. And we ought to be just as zealous, even more so, that we got a cure for hell greater than a cure for cancer. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes. We have a job, a message of reconciliation. Listen, it's a message of compassion. Say, what do you mean? Don't it bother you to see the suffering this whole world has? Don't it bother you to see the faces of starving kids flashed on TV? Don't it bother you to hear and read of the crime? Just pick up any day's paper and read it. Anybody's. Little teenager choking the baby that she just gave birth to death. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Hard to imagine all the bad stuff going on, all the suffering that's going on. If I have any compassion and could have a way to relieve that suffering, I should want to do it. Yes. You say, well, what is the way? Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You don't have to be enslaved to sin. There is a way out. You can be delivered.
Amen.
And I have that message. What a shame if I don't share it. What a shame if I don't give it away. I mean, compassion demands me to give it away. I saw just a short spot, didn't see it all, on the news, and this is the dumbest premise I can imagine after all these, since 9/11 for sure, but even before that. And the premise was they were going to interview a suicide bomber, one of them that straps on the explosive and walks in and kills people. They were going to interview him to see why he did it. What motivated him to do it? Like it's a mystery. Folks, let me explain something to you. That man has been brainwashed since he was old enough to talk that the only way he can go to heaven is to be a martyr and take out the enemies of Allah. He is enslaved to that idea. Can you imagine? Kids, little boys, growing up with this thing hanging over their head, that the only way to be sure I'm going to heaven is to kill a bunch of people. What's your future, young man? Well, I hope to grow up and be a suicide bomber. You say you're exaggerating. No, I'm not. Mom and dads teach them that's a worthy goal. Saw it on TV. This mother had a boy, done that, killed a bunch of folks. All the neighbors come into her house. They had it on TV. She had bought candy, and she sat there and rejoiced and gave out candy that her boy had achieved his goal, become a martyr, and took out some enemies as he blew himself up. Now you say, what's the problem? The problem is they don't have the truth. The problem is they've been deceived. The problem is they don't know the answer. And you and I see a suffering humanity because the devil has deluded them with his falsehoods and his deception and his error. And you and I that know Jesus Christ and the answer to the Middle East and the answer the presidents need to know is Jesus Christ and his truth and nothing else. Nothing else. Giving all our tax money away. Train them, train their soldiers and train their police so they can just shoot the trainers down, shoot the Americans down. Bunch of junk. They need the truth. We need to be ambassadors, not only in the Middle East, but everywhere you look. One of our missionaries that we've supported for years, he's dead now. He didn't retire. He finally just wore himself out around 90 years old. Brother Cecil Nice. Brother Cecil said, he said, that tribe I went into, never seen civilization, but they had religion. You don't find any atheistic tribes. They all got religion, false religion. He said their religion was that when the mother or the dad or the granddad died, their religion was they had to take their bones and they had to crush their bones and they had to mix the crushed bone, the powder of the bones, into water and make, as it were, a milkshake out of it, and they had to drink that themselves. That was the only way that their ancestors could live on. And when Cecil Nice got in there as an ambassador for Christ and began to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, God's Son, dying for their sins, and when they began to get saved, they said, Cecil, we never wanted to do that dirty thing. We thought we had to do that dirty thing. We thought we had to drink those bones. Oh, what a blessing it is to know we don't have to do that.
Amen.
Delivered from that falsehood.
Yes.
The truth is today, that same message would deliver the world if we could get it to them. It would solve the Middle East problem. It would solve all the problems. Man is depraved. He is lost. He is separated from God. And God has sent some ambassadors to get the good word out that God wants to be reconciled with a sinner. And it takes a middle man in the middle, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator that took our place and took on him our sin and died in our place and paid that price that we could be right with our Creator. Wonderful truth. We got to get that truth out, folks. We got to be good ambassadors. It frees us from the slavery and the bondage and the depravity of sin. Oh, yeah, we're still living in depraved bodies, no doubt about that. Science is still trying to figure out why man dies. Right. They say the body repairs itself and repairs itself, and the cells renew themselves, and they renew themselves, and all of a sudden it kind of begins to get where they don't renew anymore. We call that old age. Amen. Not only old age, disease, and all of a sudden the body can't do it no more. And science says, how can it do it this long and then quit? And they're studying the DNA about that. And they've discovered, they say, what's called the Y chromosome in the DNA. And they say it's that Y chromosome that's killing everybody. That's why men die. And then they got to looking, and they say that Y chromosome keeps going back in man's history and back in man's history and back in man's history. And it keeps being inherited on up the line. I got news for them. That first man's called Adam. And that Y chromosome got started with the fall, the sin that was committed in the garden. Now, they can keep searching all the test tubes and all the microscopes they want to. They need to look in God's Word and believe what God said about it. But hey, as an ambassador, I got good news for you. God made a second Adam. And he don't have that Y chromosome. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I got that good news. I got to share it. I got to tell others. Yeah, you can get out of Adam and get in Christ. You can get your DNA changed.
Amen.
Now, we all need that change. Amen.
Amen.
Sure, we do. You know, the text here talks about being the Word. Being the Word. It says down in verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead." That means as if Jesus was standing there. We're representing him in his stead. We're his ambassador. And our message is that you got to be reconciled to God. You back it up to the next verse. It says, "Committed unto us the word of reconciliation."
Yeah.
That's the gospel, folks. That's the good news. Bible talks about hearing good news from a far country. Heaven's that far country. And you and I are not home. We're in a foreign land. It's not our home. We're ambassadors down here. We got a job to do. I want to say this. Who is an ambassador? We're Christian ambassadors for Christ. What is our message? It's reconciliation. Well, then, when is an ambassador's job over? Let me ask the last question. When is an ambassador's job over? Well, I'll tell you when. When's his job over? When he's called home.
Yeah.
Amen. Long as he's there in that foreign land and that foreign embassy, his job's going on. But one day, the nation that sent him calls him back.
Amen.
His job's over when he's called back. You know, that picture's the church. You understand that down here on Sunday is where a bunch of God's ambassadors gather? Do you understand the church was started and exists mainly for saved folks? No saved folks would be ambassadors to go out and get others. Look close in the Bible. You won't find the lost commanded to go to church. You find the church to go to the lost. There's a big difference there. We're to go out as ambassadors. We're to go out in the neighborhood that might be foreign to us to represent him.
Yeah.
You see, the picture of the church, you know, been here at Landmark now, I guess this January makes 42 years. I'm about to lose count of them. Through the years at different times, I mean, we get criticized and gossiped about and lied about. We understand that. That's a small percentage, though, of the good side, truthfully. And I wish it wasn't that way, but that's the way it is, because we're foreigners in this old world. Our citizenship's somewhere else. It's not here. And the church is sort of our embassy, you might say, where we work out of, we work under. I'm doing a little analogy there. Do you follow me? And the ambassador that goes out of this church comes back. We come back and get our spiritual gas tanks filled up. We come back and fellowship because we love the same Lord, and then we empowered to go out and do it again. Somebody said the greatest time of any church service ought to have been when the last amen said and the doors were open for folks to leave, because that's when the ambassadors go out. That's the job that we've got to do. And I've heard gossip on our church, but I've heard through the years, so some of you don't get excited. We had not a good thing this last week. Don't get excited about it. The church is going to stay here till Jesus comes. Somebody says, "Is Landmark going to close up?" Yes, we are. One day. Don't write our obituary too fast. We still got a job to do. We're still ambassadors. We're going to still get the word out. Better understand that. But one day we are going to close. And you can have the whole kit and caboodle. You can have the piano and the organ and the video and the carpet and the pews and the buses. Take it all. We won't need it no more. Amen. But in the meantime, we're going to still be ambassadors till Jesus comes. Amen. When's our job over? When we're called home. When we're called home. We hadn't been called yet. It's not up to me if it was. Mm-hmm. But we've still got a job to do. Our message is the message of Christ, of reconciliation. When we're going to get through, when he calls us home, says that's enough. When that's enough. You know, I think he'll do it when the message is no longer accepted, and I see that day coming. Jesus said in Luke 18, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? He was answering his own question that it'll be pretty weak. Won't be much left by the time I come. So it's no surprise to him. One day when the message is no longer accepted, he'll probably call us home, but that's his call, not ours. You know what? What you ought to consider is this. God's leaving his ambassadors here because he wants them to reach everybody he can with the message of Christ, that Christ loved them and died for them, that they can be reconciled back to God. And he's leaving us as long as possible. And by the way, I don't believe he's going to forsake us like we did our ambassador here recently. I don't believe he is. He's going to leave us till the job's done. And then he's going to call us. There's one thing that's very obviously in history and everywhere. It takes place almost without fail through history. When ambassadors are called home, nations go to war. When God calls his ambassadors home, heaven is going to declare war. And in Revelation 19, Jesus is going to come back leading the armies of heaven. Heaven's going to declare war on planet Earth. That's what the Bible says. But before he does, he'll call out his ambassadors. Let me ask you a personal question. Has God called any ambassadors out that was sent to you? So what do you mean, preacher? Well, that guy that you used to work with on the job that kept telling you about Jesus and asking you about being saved, has that guy been called out? Is he gone? Did God remove that ambassador out of your life? Maybe it was a praying mom or dad that was an ambassador to you. They're always on you about receiving Christ and getting saved, but they're no longer here. Did God call that ambassador away? Maybe it was even a child in your home that's in heaven now. Special little ambassador that God sent to you to tell you how they love Jesus and how Jesus could save you. Has that ambassador been removed? I want to tell you something, friend. It's a terrible thing when you ignore God's ambassadors, those that would witness to you and tell you how to be saved, and you don't none of it. Look out. Look out. When God calls them home, maybe the last ambassador he had to try to reach you. Ever think about that? Old preacher preached for many years. He preached in what some thought was a pretty evil town. For the many years that he preached and grew old preaching, souls got saved from time to time, and from time to time they didn't. But he kept holding the truth and holding the message and not dipping his colors. And around town, he was criticized for that. He just couldn't catch up with the times. He was joked about some, ridiculed, but he kept preaching. And one day, he died. He got old and he died. And a young preacher that knew him a little bit was called to preach his funeral. And the young preacher got up and said words like this. He said, "Old brother so-and-so preached the truth to you folks. Some of you didn't like it. You criticized him for it. But," he said, "I want to tell you something. When God called this ambassador home, he removed a great roadblock on the road to hell that was keeping some of you from going to hell. A great roadblock has been removed on your road, on the broad way that you're trying to go to hell on. Take warning, the roadblock has been moved. And I want to say to you, you and I ought to want to be like that old preacher. We ought to be wanting to block everybody we can out of hell. And the only way we're going to do it is to tell them the good news that as an ambassador of Christ, I plead with you in Christ's stead, be reconciled unto God. And that's what I'm doing this morning. It's what I'm doing right now. There's some in this building and some in Radio Land. Your answer is to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as an ambassador this morning, I want to be faithful to tell you that's his message. It's not mine. It's his. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? Let's bow our heads. While heads are bowed, how many of you can say, preacher, thank God I heard that message. I did receive one of the Lord's ambassadors that witnessed to me. Maybe it was a preacher, maybe it was a mom or dad. And I've trusted Christ as my Savior because of that, and I know it. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven, not because I'm good, but because Jesus took my sin and paid my price, and I'm reconciled to the Father through his shed blood. Can you say I'm saved and I know it? Can you say that with the uplifted hand? Do you know it? Do you know it for sure? Time is running out, folks. I hope your hand is in sync with your heart, that it's real. Thank you. May put them down. Are you here today and you'd say, preacher, no, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'd like for you to have me in mind when you pray, preacher. I'd like to know I'm saved. Would you slip that hand up this morning? I care for my soul. I care for my soul. Would you slip that hand up? I'm not going to embarrass you and come to you, but oh, I'll have you in mind if you'll let me. I'm looking. Other folks have their heads bowed. If you'd lift that hand, I need to be saved. Would you do it? Would you do it? I would hope everybody in this building is saved. I certainly do. I hope everybody listening in Radio Land is saved. But I have some doubts. Too many folks today are criticizing the message instead of accepting the message. They're doing their own thing. And how bad it's going to be if they end up that way. Father, I commit the invitation to you.